Well, I'm a damn sight colder than what I was when I last did this. This is now on the other side of the world. On Monday, it was 40 degrees, and I was warm, and I was comfortable, and it was really nice. Now it is 3 degrees on the other side of the world in Oslo. So, yeah, it's somewhat different. Mind you, it's better than when I got here. It was -8 when I got here the other day. So, look, swings and roundabouts, right? So on the one hand, I'm all rugged up, and, okay, I am under a big heater, which helps. On the other hand, at least the beer actually stays cold, so that's not so bad. And one of the nice things about being in Oslo is this beer is fantastic, this juicy stuff for anyone that does enjoy beer. So, given it's sort of almost the Christmas edition as well, I think we can get away with some beer. Whilst I do the weekly update, it's not going to be the last one for the year, second last one for the year, because there'll be one more to come. So, what have I been doing? That's good. I got to Oslo a couple of days ago and went and spent half a day with Microsoft. So we had a CISO roundtable there in the morning, which was effectively a good opportunity to get a whole bunch of CISOs from big Norwegian companies and other companies, which are big in Norway but may not be Norwegian, in a bit of a roundtable sort of setting where we got to talk about the things that were on people's minds. And it's always sort of interesting to do these events because I get to hear from people inside organisations dealing with the sorts of challenges we read about in the news every day, actually having to live and breathe that. And you just sort of get a little bit of a very different insight to what you would sort of sitting afar and not having these direct interactions. So this is one of the reasons I travel a lot, is to have the opportunity to get face-to-face with people. And I make sure that when I do go to different parts of the world, I try and take those opportunities. So I've done the same events for Microsoft this year in Budapest, in Denmark, in Australia. I think somewhere else. I can't remember. It's been a long year. So that was the first thing. Other things this week was I spent yesterday afternoon with the Norwegian National Cybersecurity Center. So they, like many parts of the world, have an NCSC. As some of you would have seen, I announced only a few weeks ago that the Norwegian government is now on board, having been pwned. They are now one of 7 different governments. Switzerland came just after that, using having been pwned to monitor all the government domains. So I spent a bit of time with those folks. Again, just having the opportunity to get there face-to-face is always really, really interesting. And governments have a lot of distinct challenges, shall we say. So that was good spending time with those folks. So that was Thursday, yesterday, and then today I've been with the Norwegian Consumer Council, who have done some really, really cool stuff in the past around things like kids' tracking watches. So they did quite a bit of stuff with Ken Munro a couple of years ago. Ken, of course, is the guy who I did the TikTok track stuff with earlier this year around kids' watches, which are just doing all sorts of things that you really don't want any IoT doing, let alone IoT that actually allows you to locate other people's children, which was kind of what it did. So again, very sort of interesting stuff to go and spend time with these organisations. And the Consumer Council does some really, really cool stuff that I'll probably be able to talk a little bit more about in the future as well. But also being able to spend time with these organisations, speaking about things like data breaches, speaking about the way Have I Been Pwned is operating and the way organisations use that. And it's really good for me to spend a little bit of time with the organisations that are there as very, very consumer-facing entities to make sure that my sort of moral compass and the way I run things is consistent with what it should be as well. So they have some interesting chats today. Now, on to other blog stuff. And I do have a new blog from this week, which is probably going to take up the bulk of the chatting time today, which is around the updated version of the Wino HTTPS website. So just as a recap, this is a service that Scott Helm and I launched, when was it, around about middle 2018. And the intention here, so this was just, I think it was just after Chrome had made one of the visual changes to the UI, where they started saying on every HTTP website, it is not secure, because the transport layer, of course, is not secure. And we thought, hey, wouldn't it be interesting to have a look at what are the biggest sites in the world that are not secure. And yes, I understand that not secure, is a very loaded kind of term, because it's like, hey, it could be served our HTTPS, but have all these SQL injection holes or insecure direct object references or all the usual suspects So that could actually still be a problem. But let's be clear, we're talking about the transport layer. And we thought it would be interesting to have a look at which websites weren't securing the transport layer and they were like the biggest in the world. And then let's localize it. Let's go country by country. What are the biggest ones in your country which aren't doing HTTPS properly? So we pushed this thing out and it got a lot of traction. A lot of people were very excited about it. With the benefit of hindsight, breaking it down by country was actually really interesting. Because, of course, someone like myself, I'm really interested in which of the Aussie websites not doing it properly. The folks here are interested in which of the Norwegian websites not doing it properly. So it got engagement and buy-in from people beyond just like, here's the, like the global X number. So that was really good. And I updated it as we got to later last year. Actually, I should be clear as well. Where does the data come from? So Scott runs a service called crawler.ninja. So for some reason, he decided the .ninja TLD was the way to go. And he runs crawler.ninja, and every single night, he crawls through the world's largest million websites and reports on a whole bunch of stuff. So which websites are using content security policies? Which websites have got certificates that are about to expire within the next 24 hours? In other words, which are the websites that are about to die? That is an interesting read, by the way. So I'm going to link to crawler.ninja in the notes for this, or you could just go to crawler.ninja, because that's all it is. Anyway, so they're really interesting stats that Scott puts together. Now, two of the crawls that he does, or two of the stats that he pulls from his crawl is which websites are forcing HTTPS, so they 301 or 302 an HTTP request for HTTPS, and also which websites are not. So which ones can you request over HTTP and they just return content over HTTP and don't redirect you. So we decided to take those two sources and roll them into what is effectively now this 1.0 HTTPS website. So that was the genesis of the idea. Now, you might think, well, this is something that you could just easily automate. Like every night when Scott does his crawl, just update 1.0 HTTPS. Turns out not that simple for multiple reasons, not least of which is reasons such as depending on where you make a request from and what your user agent is and whether or not the service thinks you're a bot or not, you might get a totally different response. So, for example, Have I Been Pwned might actually come back and give you an HTTP, I think it's a 400 code because it serves up a recapture if you meet a criteria which makes you look like a bot. However, if you're a normal human being and you go there from anywhere else, you'll get a 301, except for HSTS, but I'm going to come back to the HSTS piece. The point is that you can get really inconsistent results depending on where you are in the world. So the whole idea of just going, hey, automate the whole thing without any human manual review is fraught with problems. The other thing is we've then got the challenge of how you attribute a country to a domain. Turns out it's not that easy. Now, interestingly, I don't think it's on this list anymore. I'm going to talk about some of the notable trends on the list in a moment, which is not something I spoke about in the blog post too. So all new content right here. One of the interesting things here is you'll see something like bbc.com and people will say, ah, that's a British website because it's BBC. So, no. bbc.co.uk is a British website. bbc.com is intended for an American audience. So those little nuances, how do we define that? So I've had a script running for a while that goes and pulls data from Alexa, which is where we used to derive the top million. We'll come back to where it comes from now. Used to go to Alexa, throw a domain at that. The domain, or rather with the Alexa page, would come back and say, this is the country it belongs to. So not exactly straightforward. The other thing is I don't know, maybe I've got to just let go of some stuff, but I just wanted to have a human eye over it before each one of these goes live because of some of these nuances. Now, that said, I think there are ways of us fully automating this in the future, and I really should look at that. So, be that as it may, the thing kind of sat stagnant for a year, and a bunch of people would pop up and say, when are you going to update the thing? So, we have updated the thing. We've now got a new version there. And we did go for about a year, and one of the interesting things that sort of happened over the period of this year is a number of people had popped up and said, we have now gone HTTPS. We were on the list before. Could you please remove us from the list? And what I like about this is that, I'm going to get in trouble for this, I like the shame. element. So I like the fact that people don't want to be on this list because it's a bad look for them. And one of their motivations for going HTTPS is to get off the list. Now, I don't think that should be the right motivation. I think the motivation should be we actually want to protect our customers. But if this is what it takes, means to an end, all this sort of thing. So it's kind of interesting to have people actually pop up and say, we're aware on the list, we'd like to get off the list. Now, of course, the only way we can do that is we've got to update the damn list. So, brings us through to today. Now, some of the key things that I've put here in this blog post, and I want to embellish a little bit more in this medium, which is a little bit more friendly than just the written word. So one of the interesting things is that over the period since we first started this service in the middle of 2018 through to now at the end of 2019, the percentage of web pages served over an HTTPS connection has gone from 70% to 80%. Now, that's really good news because that's a pretty sizable uptick. And yes, we'd like to see it at 100%, but of course, you're going to have this diminishing returns thing where it's going to get harder and harder and harder to get the next 10%, let alone the last 10%. But 80%, I reckon, not a bad number. So that was the first thing. Good news in terms of the adoption rates. Now, of course, what that was going to mean is that we're always going to have a bunch of websites that were in the last version of this service drop off for the December 2019 version. Now, one of the other things that changed is Alexa, as a list of top million websites, became harder to obtain and somewhat unreliable. And in fact, I've quoted Scott here because Scott used to use Alexa. And again, this is all Scott's raw data. I just take it and then make it look pretty on the website. So we used to use Alexa. He's now using a service called Tranko. Now, I want to quote Scott here or read from Scott's quote just to sort of give you a bit of context. He says, I used to use the Alexa Top Million for this research, but I've been having issues with the list. They tried to remove access at one point, and while I managed to have it restored, there are other issues too. The accuracy of the data has been called into question, and also the list itself has been having weird issues recently, like not returning 1 million entries. Yep, that's right, the Alexa Top 1 Million list has been returning, in some cases, only 650,000 entries, which is, of course, a problem. So, Scott is now using this Tranko list, and Tranko is built from a number of different sources. I actually haven't had anyone argue that Tranko was a bad choice. You know, now that I sort of take a moment to reflect on it, no one has said, hey, you rolled from Alexa to Tranko, we're not happy about that. Which is interesting, because people let you know pretty quickly when they're unhappy about things on the internet. So, Tranko, new list. Now, I'll then go through and explain a bit of the methodology. We've spoken about that. Also, some of the false positives where you can see one behavior based on Scott's crawler running in whatever data center he runs in versus someone just loading the website in the browser. One big change this year, and I'm actually really happy with this change, is if the website is HTTPS preloaded, it gets a quote-unquote free pass. Now, what I mean by this is that if a website is in the HTTPS preload list, even if the browser or Scott's crawler doesn't see it, 301ing, 302ing from HTTP to HTTPS, we're going to not put the site on the list at all. Simply because if the site is preloaded, then the browser simply won't allow an insecure request. Anyway, it will do an HTTP 307 internal redirect, and it will not let an insecure request go over the network. So the risk to the consumer is no longer there when the site is preloaded. The other thing is that in order to preload a website, one of the HTTPS preload requirements is that you must redirect insecure requests to secure ones. And if they've been able to pass that requirement and get on the preload list, our crawler could just be having a false positive. Now, incidentally, Have I Been Pwned is a perfect example of this, because when Scott's crawler runs against Have I Been Pwned, Have I Been Pwned says, that's a crawler. And in fact, more specifically, Cloudflare and the Cloudflare rule that I've got, custom-made rule, that sits around the service, looks at it and says, that's a crawler. We're going to challenge you with a recapture. The way Cloudflare implements that is it serves the capture over whichever scheme is requested. So effectively, you make an HTTP request and getting a capture over HTTP. However, because Have I Been Pwned, what's my service name again? Because Have I Been Pwned is preloaded, it gets the free pass. So Have I Been Pwned is on Scott's HTTP list, but it is not on the Why No HTTPS list. One of the things that I hope this does is encourages organizations who have their site on this list to preload, because they can argue black and blue all day long about all the advanced threat analytics detection dark web scans that they've got running in order to try and stop malicious traffic. And that's what our scraper crawler, Scott probably doesn't like it being called a scraper, that's what the crawler is doing. I can argue about that all day long. If they're going HSTS preload, then that gets them off the list immediately. So I'm really hoping this drives a bit more HSTS preload adoption. So there's that. I've also loaded a whole bunch of diffs onto GitHub. So what I started doing with the last release last year is I took all of the source data and I put it all into a GitHub repository. And each time I rev the live site, I update the repository so you can go through and do diffs. So it's really easy to say, take the Australian top 50 websites still doing HTTP and compare it with a diff to the previous one. And then it's very, very simple to see what's changed. So that's the backstory. Now, the trends. And you know, in all honesty, I've barely had a chance to look at these trends myself. So let's have a look at what we've got here on the front page. So first thing here is that the world's largest 100 websites now top out, so the world's largest 100 websites doing HTTP and not redirecting, now top out at number 1,162. So the 100 websites below represent 10% of the world's largest 1,162 websites. So here's an interesting way of looking at that. We just said that 80% of all web traffic is now encrypted. But interestingly, 90% of the world's top 1,162 websites are forcing HTTPS by default. And what Scott's stats show, so he does this nightly crawl and he does a six-month published report, his stats always show that the larger the website is, the more likely it is to force HTTPS. And you can see quite a clear trend where, like, the world's largest few thousand websites have a much greater adoption rate of HTTPS than the world's smallest websites in the top million. So the fragments say websites 999,000 through to 1 million. All right, so that was the first thing. Second thing is, and this really stands out because we've got flags next to each one of these domains. The number one website not serving content securely is Baidu.com, Chinese. Number two, Sohu.com, Chinese. Number three, Xinhaonet.com, Chinese. Top three websites are all Chinese. After that, it's Apache.org and W3.org, which does strike me as odd. Why are they not HTTPSing? If you're from Apache or the W3C, let me know, because that's... why not just redirect? Anyway, and then after that, we've got BabyTree.com. Now, you may not be a big BabyTree.com user, nor am I. Apparently, that is a Chinese website. And just flicking through it, you then go through and still find a heap of stuff that's either things like not-for-profit or educational facilities. So, for example, MIT.eu is one of the largest websites not going secure, US websites. So the US ones tend to be non-profits or education facilities. And if you take those out, you're basically left with Chinese websites. Panda.tv. I don't know what that is. It's probably safe to click, but hey, who knows? Soso.com, Chinese. China.com.cn, no surprises there, Chinese. Rednet.cn. Nginx.org gets flagged as Chinese. Well, that's interesting. So that may be a false positive. One of our problems, just going back to how we do sort of global classifications for websites, is what's the criteria? Is it where it's hosted? Is it the audience that it targets? Or is it the audience that visits the site? So one thing that you can go and get from Alexa still very easily today is, for a given website, you can see a bit of a breakdown of where the traffic comes from. Now, for something like nginx.org, if most of the traffic comes from China, do we call it Chinese? Or do we call it American? I don't quite understand the entire background of Nginx and where it actually evolved from, but I would imagine it probably should be US, so that might be something I have to go back and have a look at. TechCrunch is on there, actually, so that's interesting. I think when I looked at TechCrunch, which is classified as US, which I believe is a correct classification, I think when I looked at it, it just had an odd behavior when I hit it with a curl. So normally what I'll do is I'll just go curl, capital I, capital L, which will just give you headers and it will follow redirects. And if I can do that and it's not redirecting to an HTTPS address, it's like, okay, well, they're not doing it right. And, of course, they're not on the HSTS preload list, which keeps them in here. Flicking through the list, we actually have to go quite a way down before we get to something that isn't classified as either Chinese or US. And then eventually we get down to, wow, website 348. Is that the Mexican flag? The Start magazine. Yes, I believe it is. I think it is. Thestartmagazine.com. And then it's all US and Chinese again. That's just massively dominant. A bit further down, a couple of Indian ones, hdfcbank.com, example.com. This one was interesting. In fact, this is a perfect example, pardon the pun, where when I went and looked at this in Alexa, example.com has the predominant amount of traffic come from India. So it was something like 20% of traffic comes from India. The next largest country after that was 14% from the US. So for now, example.com is Indian. There you go. Now, let me flick over because I actually want to have a look at Australia. And I've only had a brief glance at Australia. And it's just kind of interesting to see what's still on there. And the number one website, and this is not a false positive because I've checked it carefully and I've tweeted out and asked for someone to get me in contact there, is bomb.gov.au. So BOM is the Bureau of Meteorology. That's where we get our weather from. That is absolutely positively still all HTTP. It's the 4,977th largest website in the world, according to Trenko. Will not redirect from HTTP to HTTPS. Not only that, but it won't even serve a certificate over HTTPS, which is, yeah, kind of sad. Going down the list a bit, we've got things like Fox Sports and Kmart. Now, I did actually have a look at these, and again, it was one of those scenarios where in the browser it would redirect me, but via a curl, it wouldn't successfully redirect. So really, there is still something missing there. We've got others like Big Pond, which is a Telstra service for broadband, which I think Big Pond even doesn't even go anywhere now. It redirects to media.telstra.com.au. Maybe, eventually, after many seconds of waiting, even on good Norwegian bandwidth, unlike the bandwidth at home. ITY.com is a news outlet that's definitely over HTTP. I checked on that as well. A bunch of government stuff. GA.gov.au. What's GA.gov.au? I haven't even looked at that. What else we got? Treasury.gov.au. I did check that one as well. So the Treasury Department, that is interesting. GA, this website is loaded. Geoscience, applying geoscience to Australia's most important challenges. Obviously, one important challenge is going HTTPS, which is a challenge not yet met. So that was kind of an odd one. YouTubes with two S's .com. Maybe not one you want to go to at work, because I don't know what's behind that. AstrologyKing.com apparently is Australian. CultureKings.com.au. Priceline.com.au, that's a major retailer. Career1.com.au for employment. Wow, that's strange, isn't it? And WebWombat.com.au. I think WebWombat's an ISP. Why are they not doing their HTTPS properly? Well, they're definitely not doing HTTPS. Project of House Prague, check. Oh, no, that's an ad. 6 bedrooms, 7 bathrooms. Why am I getting this? WebWombat is the original Australian search engine. There you go. I had no idea. Shows how much I know about original Australian search engines. Anyway, so that's where we're at the moment. We have updated this. It's had a heap of traffic, people coming by taking a look at it. I've seen others shared a lot on Twitter as well. I hope we continue to use this as a resource to raise that bar. And what I really want to see is the next time I do this, which hopefully won't be a year from now, is rather than the largest, sort of the top 100 websites, the smallest out of the top 100 being website 1,162, I'd like to see that smallest website being like website 2,000 and basically seeing more and more and more of the web go secure by default and dropping off this list. And we have to basically really scrape the bottom of the barrel to find large websites that aren't doing HTTPS. And if there's any opportunity for you to go and have a look at your country and then pick the biggest ones and shame them, I'm going to say the shame word because it does work, it does apply pressure to organisations who really don't want to be on this list, then please do that and drive them in the right direction. HTTPS has never been easier or freer or more readily accessible, or all these other things. So can't do that. So, look, that was the main thing that I wanted to cover today, which really just leaves me on the sponsor side of things. It is Veronis again this week. So this week, Veronis is talking about their free course, 7 Hidden Office 365 Security Settings You Can Only Unlock with PowerShell. So go and have a look at their free course. There's a whole bunch of my free courses on Veronis as well. So I've done a heap of free courses for those guys and worked with them for many, many years. So please support Veronis and thank them for supporting me. So that is about it for now. So I'm going to go and have a somewhat cold week to come here in Norway. In fact, I think I'm going to try and get out of the outdoors and into the warm indoors. And then next week I'll come to you from another location and we'll see what happens over the next week. I mean, it's going to be Christmas, but it's not like stuff just stops happening in this industry when Christmas hits. And with any luck, I might get a bit of downtime to write a couple of blog posts that I've really, really been itching to get out. So thank you for watching this, and I hope you guys have a great time over the next week, and you get to have a bit of downtime, and whatever your beer of choice or other thing may be, over your Christmas. Thank you for watching.